Amen. We thank God for the scripture and for the prayer this morning. We want to move right on into the word for this morning. I thank God for those some things that were said in the before Deacon Smith prayed, talking about the word of God and how it is a weapon. And you know, in order to execute that word, we use a member of our body, small member called the tongue. And in the book of James, and in chapter 3, we find that he rebukes some for misuse of the tongue. The tongue can be used to bless, and the tongue can be used to curse. The tongue can be used when we confirm the word of God and to preach the kingdom of God to the nations. And so he reminds us that the tongue can be an instrument of blessing and yet can be an instrument of offense. This is what he says in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then he goes on to say, a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. We, in our searching for perfection, need to remember that we can never neglect our tongue. We bless God with it, and then we turn around and we curse men with it. It brings forth sweet waters and also bitter waters that ought not to be. But the purpose of the tongue, as God gave it, was for us to praise his name. And we find that when we use the tongue correctly, and when we praise God the way that we ought to, when we use that tongue to thank God for what he has done for us in our lives, then we are on the road to finding fellowship with our Maker and Creator. As we have been here in the earth, we seem to have lost contact with the one who made it possible for us to be here. Although His Spirit abides in us, and although His breath is with us, sometimes we seem to forget that He Himself is present with us, and yet we don't seek fellowship with Him like we ought to. The greatest thing that we can have in the world is fellowship with Almighty God. And then we find that we can't have fellowship with Almighty God unless we have fellowship one with another. We find that God intended for us to dwell in His presence. And He wanted us above all things to be uniquely tied to Him and uniquely dependent upon Him for all of our needs. But the wiser we became, it seems that we decided that we didn't need that close fellowship, and we began to make our own way. We ceased to praise Him, we ceased to thank Him, but we glorified ourselves as though we were the source of our own success. We need to get it right. Hallelujah. We find that God wants us to depend on Him. He wants us close to Him, and He wants us to speak to Him often. Hallelujah. He wants us to use the tongue to bless Him, to say thank you, Jesus, to say thank you, Father, and to let the enemies of our souls know how good God is to us. When situations arise, God wants us to use the tongue to speak the words of promise that He has issued to all believers. He doesn't want us to faint or to shrink under adverse circumstances, but He wants us to stand in the face of our enemies and speak the truth and speak the will of God and to let them know how blessed we are. How many blessed this morning? If you know you're blessed, don't let anybody tell you that you're not blessed. We are blessed not because we're so good, but we're blessed because He is so good. We have been talking about the value of mercy and our journey toward finding God's mercy and finding the place of mercy. We found that in the Old Testament, the place of mercy could be found in the temple, in the holiest of all, by one man, the high priest, and he would meet with God and have communion with God once a year above the mercy seat. And so God has set symbols and types in the construction of the old tabernacle that lets us know what was on His mind. We find that the tabernacle of God had three main parts. That was the outer court, the inner court, and then the holy place. There is a road into the holiest of all, where we find fellowship with God, where we find His mercy, and where there is forgiveness of our transgressions. I don't know about you this morning, but I need forgiveness. for my transgressions. How many need forgiveness this morning? The Bible says that he who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. But I'm glad that although I have sinned, I have an advocate with the Father. I have someone who is willing to forgive me. I find this forgiveness at the seat of mercy in the holiest place of all, where there is communion and fellowship with God. But I want to know how I can get into that place of communion and fellowship. How do I get to that place? If we look back on the symbology of the tabernacle of God, we find in Psalm 100 almost a recipe for getting there, at least getting you to step one and two. For it says this, enter. Hallelujah. Into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Before we can come to the place of mercy, we must first enter the gates of the kingdom. We can't get to the holiest of all unless we first open the gates and come into the temple ground itself. And so we find that Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So those of us who are not thankful, who are not grateful, who don't bless God with and think fondly of him for what he has done, aren't likely to find a place of communion with him. Well, the first step is to get into the gates itself. And you know, we find out when we start praising God, when we start giving him thanks, when we say, thank you, Lord, for doing this for me, and thank you, Lord, for providing my shelter. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that God did for you. If you can't say thank you to God, how can you ever move on into his presence? Hallelujah. God is a good God. Hallelujah. So it says that we are to enter if we just open our mouths and begin to thank him, we can get through the gates. And then it says, and into his courts with praise. Now there are two courts, that's the outer court and the inner court. But now we say if we're going into the courts, we must learn to praise him. That means we must learn to use that member again to give him adoration and to tell God how good he is. It's one thing to thank him for what he's done, but then there's the other aspect of telling him how great he is. There's a hymn we've been singing for years that says, how great thou art. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder. Whew, hallelujah. We need to be occupied with telling him how great he is. Hallelujah. So we find that thanksgiving and praise starts us on the road to communion with God, but communion cannot be fulfilled until we experience God's mercy. And that is found in the deepest part of the sanctuary. It is found in the holiest of all. That place of mercy cannot be made effective until it is sprinkled with blood. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats. But now we have a high priest who has entered not the temple in Jerusalem, but who entered into the heaven itself. He did not take in with him the blood of bulls and goats, but he took in his own blood that was acceptable to God. We're talking about the blood of Jesus, our Christ and our Savior, our Messiah. Nor the sacrifice will now be accepted by God for our sins, except the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus that he took in on our behalf. And the Bible tells us that that blood is now there in heaven making intercession for you and I. No greater intercession can be made. It says it speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel was the blood of condemnation. But the blood of Jesus is the blood of reconciliation. And therefore, we need to thank God and praise God all day long for the sacrifice that he made by sending his son as a propitiation for the sins, our sins, and not only our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That's what gives Jesus greater power than any man that has ever lived. That's what makes him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody else has offered up their blood, and having it being accepted by Almighty God as sufficient to take away once and for all your sin and my sin. You can join any religion that you want, but you need more than a religion to see eternity through. You need salvation. That salvation is in the blood of Jesus. This being true, why then would I not give thanks unto God? Why then would I not praise him who has made provision for my everlasting life, who has made it impossible for my enemies to overcome me unless I just want to be overcome? Hallelujah. I don't know why anybody would want to be overcome. We see in Psalm 136, there are 26 reasons. There were 26 reasons why we should give thanks unto God. There are 26 reasons why we should use our tongue for good. We find that it starts off by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Why do we thank him? We thank him because he is good. And he is good because he never ceases to show mercy to us when we give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. use our tongue to praise him and tell him how glad we are that he is the God of gods. There is no God beside him. His name is Jehovah. And there is no God but him. Hallelujah. Whew. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. It says he's Lord of lords. Hallelujah. For his mercy endureth forever. How long will God continue to show his mercy to you and to me? Forever. And that's why we owe him our thanks. We always need to be grateful for what God is doing in our lives. Then the Bible says in verse 4, to him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. Him alone. Nobody else does great wonders except him. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures. All of these things were acts of mercy, the mercy of God, preparing a world for you and I to inhabit. Hallelujah. By wisdom, it says, made the heavens. And it says, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. When we thank God, we need to thank God for all of these things that he has done. And we find out that he gave us the sun to rule by day so that we wouldn't have to walk around in darkness. And even better than that, he gave us the moon to light the night so that we wouldn't have to be blind at night. And the stars that were in the heavens, he always is looking out for you and I as part of his mercy. Hallelujah. We find out that we should give him thanks because he overcomes our enemies as he overcame the enemies of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. We find that he takes vengeance on our enemies as he had vengeance on the Egyptians. Therefore, we ought to give him thanks and praise because he is the one who can take care of every problem that's in our lives. You got a problem? God take care of that problem. He can solve it, and he will solve it. He wants to solve it. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. And he brought them out with a strong hand, and he'll bring you out with a strong hand. Hallelujah. And if you need a place, an escape route, some of us are in a rut. We're in bondage, we're in slavery, and we're trying to get out, but it looks like we can't find a way out. And there's an obstacle in front of us. When Israel was delivered from Egypt and the Egyptians were pursuing them, the Red Sea became an obstacle for them. And the enemy was pursuing them. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. He parted the Red Sea. And he'll part your Red Sea. Whatever you think is preventing you from coming out of the world and coming into the kingdom of God, God will make a way for you. Hallelujah. And to make sure that your enemies, your spiritual enemies, can't follow you out, he'll drown them in the same water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. He overthrows your enemies like he overthrew Pharaoh. Hallelujah. His mercy endures forever. Why is this list important? It's important for the one verse that is in every single, the one phrase that is in every single verse here. It says, his mercy endures forever. What that means is, if he did it, For Israel, he will do it for you. If he did it for them back there, he will do it for us right here. Our problem is we just don't believe like we ought to believe. We love to look back and see and talk about the wonders of what happened way back then. We are believers in yesterday, but faith doesn't live in the past. Faith lives in the right now. It doesn't live in yesterday. It lives in today. And if you need something from God, you're going to have to believe him today. You're going to have to trust him today. You're going to have to praise him today. You're going to have to give thanks to him today. You're going to have to know that today is the day of your salvation. Whatever is in front of you that needs to be moved, you have to know that God will move it for you. He is not a respecter of persons. That's what the scripture tells us. Neither is he a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. When God sent his son into the world, Jesus, make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No matter what any other book says, he is the Son of God. No matter what that Quorum 77 says in the Quran, he is the Son of God. Because he said, spoke out of the sky upon the baptism of Jesus and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And Proverbs challenges us even back. Then there were prophecies, and in the Proverbs said, who made the heavens and the earth? It challenges you, said, what is his name? And what is his son's name? If you can tell, if thou canst tell, is the way the scripture read. But he is worthy to be praised. Let us use our tongue to give thanks and to praise him. But let us go a little further and not be satisfied until we come into full communion and into the presence of Almighty God. The only way we can get there is to believe on the blood of Jesus and have it sprinkled by faith in our hearts, because now that tabernacle, that temple is no longer in Jerusalem. They got another temple there, but that's not the dwelling place of Almighty God. He says, the scripture says, for he dwelleth not in a temple made with hands. It says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have from God. That temple is the temple of your heart. Hallelujah. In your body, inside of you, should be the temple of God. And from that temple is where you should be looking to find the seat of mercy. From that temple is the place where you should be uttering thanksgiving. From that temple is the place where you should be offering praise. And if you would just go into that temple, Jesus made it clear that the kingdom cometh not by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And if you can reach deep down on the inside where God Almighty dwells in your heart, if you begin to fellowship with God in your heart, if you will accept the abiding and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your heart, if you will let your heart then begin to sing praises unto God, if you will let your heart then believe that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh, If you will let your heart know that all things are yours, hallelujah, you'll begin to enter into that fellowship. Back in the old temple, there was a curtain. And that curtain was there, and nobody could see into the holiest of all but the high priest who was in there. But they said when Jesus died, on the day of his crucifixion, the Bible tells us that the temple, that curtain, was rent in two. In other words, it was torn asunder. There was no longer anything preventing you and I from accessing the presence of Almighty God, because Christ himself had been sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all had not yet been manifested. But when Jesus died, hallelujah, the curtain came down. There's nothing stopping you now from being all that God desires for you to be. There's nothing stopping you now from fellowshipping with Almighty God. But you say, no, I've got too many sins. Your sins forgiven by Jesus if you just ask. You say, but I've committed too many. There's no such thing. There can be no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. That blood is more powerful than any sin that any man could commit. You and I are fortunate this morning. We're highly favored of God. His anger that he used to have toward us has been abated. The Bible says he is angry with the nations all day long. But when Jesus came and offered that sacrifice, his anger is abated because we receive him. You receive him, his anger toward you is abated, and he begins to lead you into a path of righteousness. You might not get there in one day, but he's leading you in paths of righteousness. You might not feel like you're saved, but salvation is not a feeling. It's a fact. Hallelujah. You see, you might not feel worthy. You're not worthy, but it's not based on your worthiness. It's based on the finished work of Jesus and what Jesus has done upon the cross. Therefore, I will take my tongue and I will praise him. I will take my tongue and I will give thanks unto him. Hallelujah. I will make my petition before him in the holiest of all. I will acknowledge the blood of Jesus sprinkled upon my heart. I will tell it to my enemies. I'll make sure they know that Christ died for me and I'm saved. I can look in the devil's face and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I can look right at him and say, I am the blessed of God. The Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. Don't talk about, I'm a sinner and stop. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That other thing is what you used to be. Hallelujah. Before he came into your life, before he touched you. So we need to walk in the awareness of the presence. And we walk in the awareness of the presence, we are walking in the road to mercy. Because that's the only place that we can find it. Hallelujah. Everybody looking for justice today. Justice is no good without mercy. Justice says you're guilty. All right, I'm guilty, but I need some mercy. Hallelujah. Justice will get you down to central booking. Mercy will pay the bail. Hallelujah. 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 So we say today, the tongue must be used. It must be utilized to give praise and honor to God. The more you praise him, the more blessed you are. The more you praise him, the closer you come to entering into fellowship with him. You have many reasons to praise him, many reasons to give thanks. Some are just outlined in Psalm 136, but there's many, many reasons why we ought to give God praise. So I say this morning, anybody want to give God some praise this morning? Anybody want to give him some thanks? Raise your hand this morning. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet and give God some praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. You are the blessed of God. He saved you from a world of iniquity. He turned your life around. Where would you be without him? Why would you sit down on him when he turned you around? He's calling you out of the mire of this world and calling you in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Those of us who are saved, we ought to just be so happy we don't know what to do. Hallelujah. And we need to stop making excuses as to why we won't give him glory. Why we won't give him his rightful place in our lives. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you because you're good. You're the God of gods. We thank you because you're the Lord of lords. We praise you with our tongue and we sprinkle our hearts with the blood of Jesus so that our ways will become your ways. So that because we're in Christ, we are new creatures. We have become a new creation. Old things are passed away. And all things are brand new. I thank you, God Almighty, for this congregation who have passed from death to life already because of the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for those who are here this morning, hallelujah, who desire intimate fellowship with you. I pray, oh God, that you will show them the way to come into your presence and to live a life that is full of eternal joy and happiness. Even in the midst of trials, they will find joy because their joy shall be the strength that you impart to them. Joy shall be just knowing that you're able to supply all of their needs according to your riches in glory. We say this morning, Lord, you are King of Kings. You're Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We thank you and we bless you. We know how sweet you are. Even as the music is playing, Lord, let us acknowledge your goodness. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, you may take your seats. Hallelujah.